So the subject line on the email definitely caught my eye. Can shoplifting cause problems in employee retention? LSU researcher provides insight for practitioners. Caught my eye, didn't immediately react, but the more I started thinking about it, if you're in retail, if you own a business, especially small business owners, you have enough problems right now.
Right.
The labor shortage is a big one. Inflation is a big one. Supply chain issues, we're pretty much out of that by now, but it has been an issue that you've had to fight through for some time. But what about shoplifting, and can it cause further problems with employee retention when you're having enough trouble, A, keeping your doors open, and B, keeping your place staffed? Dr. Chris Lindsay Hall from LSU is our guest to talk about this. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No, glad to have you on and glad to be talking about this because you dove in and found quite a bit. Let's start with the most basic answer to the question, can shoplifting cause problems to employee retention?
Absolutely. We're seeing it's absolutely happening.
Okay. Why?
So if you think about it, and I grew up on the front line. I came from an entrepreneurial family. And so what's happening with shoplifting is it's making employees nervous. They're anxious. They feel like it's unfair. They're given more responsibility to combat the employee shoplifting and deviant behavior. And so it's making them want to leave the firm. And we're seeing this happening across retail and services.
Wait, I want to be clear. Did you say employee shoplifting, though?
So it's actually going to be customer shoplifting.
Right, okay.
Customer shoplifting is making it so that employees... So we do find that there's, employee theft as well, but it's employees' reaction to customers' deviant behaviors that's actually causing them to want to leave firms.
Now, by and large, companies don't hold employees accountable for that, do they? Or do they?
They do. And so what we found is there's different types of what we call guardianship policies. Mm-hmm. And so you can be prohibited, so they're not letting you interact at all with deviant customers. You can be authorized, which is where you as an employee get to make the judgment call of if it makes sense to interact with them. Mm-hmm. And then you can be required. And so there are actually firms that are requiring employees to interact with deviant frontline customers.
Okay, I find that fascinating because just from, and I've worked retail before, it's been years, but the idea that for, hey, what the frontline employees are paid versus taking on someone who has nefarious intent to begin with, I've always been of the, hey, no. I'll report it. I'll see it. I'll report it. I'll make sure to note the time for the security camera. I will call authorities, but I'm not stepping in to put a stop to this. Hey, what are you doing? And that's about the extent of it. So there are businesses that say, no, you do have to step in. You have to be your own Batman.
Yes, exactly. And we're seeing this, and it's not even with shoplifting, it's other deviant behaviors, but with like COVID and mask wearing. So frontline employees are the ones who have to say, hey, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to put on your mask, or you have to be 6 feet apart, or, different things that they are out of their control, but they are required to actually implement those policies.
Okay, so all that's gone now, mm-hmm. but it definitely added to it, like straws that break the camel's back sort of thing. You go through that, and it adds to the fatigue overall.
Absolutely. And so even now, when someone, sees a customer acting out, if they're required to approach them, mm-hmm. some employees are even saying, hey, I kind of turned my eye. I just pretended like I didn't see it because otherwise I would have had to respond and act. And so you're also causing employee deviance, right? Employee bad behavior.
Yeah. And where does that lead?
Right.
Because if the employee bad behavior is rewarded on a small kind of a broken windows within your own operating procedure. We're talking with Dr. Chris Lindsay Hall about the study that asked the question to shoplifting. Can shoplifting cause problems in employee retention? Within this, were there levels to basically the size of the business versus the role of the responsibility?
So it did change in terms of some of our employees that we interviewed and that we talked with that worked with larger organizations had policies where you could only service the customer, so almost over-service them, keep asking them how they are, following around, seeing if they need help, mm-hmm. versus interacting and saying, hey, you took that, you shoplifted that. Whereas at smaller businesses, sometimes, especially managers, were charged with actually going up and saying, like, hey, I saw you put something in your pockets or you have something. And so there was a different level of what they were supposed to do in terms of approach, whether mm-hmm. it was active interaction or whether it was passive servicing. So there's different levels there.
And I can kind of understand that because the smaller the business, the smaller the margin for error in loss prevention. It is more detrimental to a smaller business than it is, say, a Walmart. So if he walks out of a Walmart with a big screen TV, that's just one drop in a bucket on a line item.
Right, and the larger the company, the more likely they are to have loss prevention specialists. Mm-hmm. But we found with the labor shortage that it's even impacting big companies where they're saying, hey, frontline employees are being charged with doing multiple tasks. Mm-hmm. And the employees are saying, and the adage that came up and ended up being the title of our paper was, not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm not paid enough for that. It's right. not. It's too much work for me, too much responsibility. And most of these are minimum wage or slightly above employees.
So. Which is going to bring us around to, especially in the smaller business, there's a natural fit. While it might be not my circus, not my monkeys, was there a correlation between the size of the business and the level of responsibility that that employee felt?
Maybe not level of business, but definitely level of the employee. So managers felt a lot more responsibility.
Naturally.
But managers were also more likely to want to leave and find another job because of that responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so you see frontline employees who maybe don't have as much flexibility with their role or they feel stuck in that position, whereas managers have the experience to be hired elsewhere, and in a labor shortage, that's very attractive. Mm-hmm. And so they have more mobility. They're able to move around. But because of that, you're losing a lot of training that went into that manager. You're losing that expertise that went into that manager. And so I think there's more issues. The fact that management are taking this so much harder, we expect it to be their responsibility. But because of that, we're seeing worse outcomes with managers. They're more likely to leave. They're more likely to think it's unfair. And they're wanting more pay for it, you know, for the responsibility they're taking on.
Right. And one would think that the more responsibility you have to take on, the more items in that job that overall job description, there would be some level of corresponding, you know, this matches up because of your pay. We're paying you more than minimum wage, and this is part of the reason why. This study, where was it?
So we actually conducted 5 studies. So we did interviews with people all over the U.S. So I have mm-hmm. colleagues that are out Salisbury and Florida Atlantic and Ohio University. And so interviews were conducted with employees all over the U.S. And then we actually also, in our surveys, we did surveys with managers and employee levels across the U.S. So we're trying to get representation rather than one focal area. And we worked in retail services, so like grocery stores, apparel stores, even like Best Buy type stores or big box retailers, Walmart. So we had representation from employees and managers kind of across the board.
Okay, a couple of questions to go along with that. Yeah. Was there a regionality to loyalty? Was there a regionality to stress levels? Do these things vary depending on where you are in the country?
So that's actually something that we're still exploring with our ongoing research. So we had 5 studies in this project, but we're still looking at if there are differences in regions and also in age across demographic or age groups. So we tend to see more loyalty from older generations than we do with younger generations, or even this idea of like quiet quitting of people who are at work, but they're not present at work. And so, you know, we're trying to explore this further. But right now, we're still in the works for that research.
The quiet quitting part I was going to get to as well, because that's something that we have a business segment we do every Thursday morning. Quiet quitting has been a topic, a repeated topic. And this is one area where quiet quitting can really hurt the bottom line, because not only are you going to lose an employee who is only there until you get rid of them, but also you're losing inventory
right.
at the same time. And you're talking about doubling the cost of just keeping someone there. Employers, what are they doing?
So employers that have put policies in place, for example, the authorized policies, we find that employees think that's the most fair because they have the autonomy to make a decision in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing for employers is that when they give the frontline employee that autonomy, that typically they have less attrition, they have less employees wanting to leave. And so it's helpful mm-hmm. when we're able to give them that choice. We're also seeing that training is the most important. And when you think about being on the frontline, and like you've mentioned, a lot of us have been in frontline service positions. We've been servers, or we've worked in, you know, movie theaters or just different areas. And so we have that knowledge or that experience of it. And so training doesn't seem that important because there's high turnover and right. you know, it's like, how can I train this person that won't be here that long? But it turns out like you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to prepare them on how to react or what the appropriate policies are, because there was actually a large percentage, almost 30% of our respondents didn't actually know what their firm policy was. They're kind of winging it, which is a huge liability for the firm as well.
Wow. I mean, yeah, that's, you would think that would be covered at some point. Especially in retail, especially in today's day and age.
Absolutely.
Where shoplifting is so rampant. We're talking with Dr. Chris Lindsay Hall about the recent study. Can shoplifting cause problems in employee retention? Okay, not my circus, not my monkeys. Let's dive into what that actually, what that means and how y'all came to that title.
Yeah, so we started, and to be honest, our first working title was Protect and Serve, because it was all about the guardianship policies and employees that were being used to protect the firm. But it turned out, as we started to talk to the employees, they kept saying, it's not my job. It's not fair. Like, I got asked and hired to hang up clothes and ring people up at the cash register, not to keep them from stealing from us. Mm-hmm. And so when this theme kept coming up over and over, like, this is not my job. This is not my responsibility. You know, my co-authors and I were like, this is the saying, it's not their circus, not their monkeys. It's above my pay grade came up multiple times in our interviews and in our studies.
What about the employer's response? Do we have anything on that front?
So we are still working through that. We have the management response, but we're still working to figure out, you know, what employers are actually going to do as a result of this. And So we do have a follow-up study that's looking at that.
Because as much as there's a labor shortage out there, I have to wonder if maybe hiring specialists, making that someone's job, hey, you're hired as security here, would that actually be more beneficial from a P&L standpoint? Would that be more beneficial to say, yeah, you now work security?
We think so. And even in that role, some of the people that we talked to were like, we were put in that role of, today you're going to work in loss prevention, you're going to be an LP and you're going to stand at the front of the store. But even that training was lacking. And so can I run after them? Can I leave the store? Am I supposed to? Do I just call the cops? Do I report it? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of questions for employees as to what they do, even when they're in that role. So we do think that role is important, but then you also have to have well-trained people in that role as well, so you don't have the liability issues and things like that.
Dr. Chris Lindsay Hall with LSU, can shoplifting, I guess it's fair to say, cause problems within employee retention. Where do y'all head next?
So we actually built out an entire future research agenda as part of our project. And so we are so excited. We have a ton of different areas, but we're looking at different things. So do we need different pay structures? Do we need different cost structures for our products to account for this inventory loss? Do we need product specialists or loss prevention specialists? And so we're also looking at, are different types of people being accused more or profiled more in these different situations by employees?
I find it fascinating and very much applicable to today's world. Thank you so much for popping in for a couple minutes today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.